This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
All righty, we are back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. If you're just joining us, we'd love to hear from you on social media at eRadio Sports and Progressive Insurance. Progressive can protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and so much more. In short, you know what? A lot of things. So bundle up today at progressive.com. We're going to continue the NFL news and notes and the conversation with my producer, and that is Sean Mapes. Give him a follow on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. And a lot of buzz with what's going on, some movement taking place with the Buccaneers. What was your reaction to Bruce Arians' retirement? And do you think Brady forced him out as head coach?
It's crazy how the Bucs went from having a retired quarterback and bringing back their head coach, and now they have a quarterback that they brought back and a retired head coach. It's absolutely crazy. It's one of those things where I believe that Brady pushed out Arians, but if you ask me to prove it, I cannot. I know it just feels like how Bruce Arians kind of would always talk about Brady. He always seemed like he was not 100% on the same page with Brady. And so now that this happens, where when Brady was out, he was going to coach. Now Brady's back in, he's not going to coach. All this happening so late in the offseason when it comes to hiring and firing head coaches, all this is red flags galore.
Should we be surprised by this change? I mean, like, come on, we thought Tom Brady had really closed the book. He was retired for, what, 42 days?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anyone else, I mean, the Bucs have had the most crazy offseason where it went from, we'll run it back to, wait, no, now we need a quarterback. Never mind, we're running it back again. Now they have a new head coach.
All right, speaking of a new head coach, Todd Bowles. How are things going to work out for him? Because I don't think they worked out too well with the Jets, right?
The best you can hope for is that he's walking into this absolutely insane scenario where he has a great veteran team that, for the most part, is the team that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And it is a second time around the block, so maybe he learned a couple things or two. Obviously, it's easier to succeed when Tom Brady's your quarterback versus whoever was his quarterback in the Jets. I don't remember, but chances are they weren't good. They weren't as good as Tom Brady.
Hey, we're wrapping up our time. My producer, Sean Mapes, with me to kick off hour two. Give me a quick hit. Deshaun Watson, how's this all going to work out with the Browns?
It's going to be...
He's shaking his head, ladies and gentlemen.
It's going to be so messy. It's so embarrassing for the league and for the Browns.
Hey, the NFL conversation is going to continue because NFL alum Jordan Black is coming up next at Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back in hour two, Saturday morning at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Progressive Insurance makes bundling home and auto so easy. You can learn more at progressive.com. Right now, we're going to change things up a bit. We're going to turn our attention to the upcoming NFL draft that will take place later this month. So many questions we want to take a deep dive in on, and wondering, you know, what prospects improved their stock following the NFL Combine and the Pro Days. And we are super excited to have back with us a guy that knows a thing or two about this entire process. He is an NFL alum, over 10 years in the NFL, played for a variety of teams, and had a very successful career. Former NFL offensive tackle, the great Jordan Black. Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning, Alyssa.
It's great to have you on. And on our program, I mean, it's been a big day of hoops as we get ready for the men's Final Four tonight. We're certainly looking forward to your perspective on the NFL and the upcoming draft. But will you and your family, are you guys going to be taking it in tonight? I mean, is there one particular team that intrigues you the most?
Well, you know, I'm probably going to root for Duke. Not that I'm a big Duke fan, but, you know, Coach K done a lot. You know, it's just good to see a coach go out on a high note.
Oh, for sure, and it would be the ultimate crescendo if Duke does ultimately win it all. Well, the countdown is on for the NFL draft and a number of questions we want to address. And so, but first, take us back to your experience. I mean, how did you prepare for that?
So, preparing for the combine, I don't know what people's expectations are out there, but typically you will go to a strength and conditioning specialist. you know, and everybody's agent's going to send you to who they think is the most world-renowned guy. And you're going to spend, you know, 2 to 3 months working on each drill you're going to do at the combine. You're going to learn how to run the 40, how to get your improve your start so your time will be faster. You know, some people will go as far as to trying to prep guys for some of the mental testing that they'll do there. But a lot of preparation goes into it. So it's not like they're just surprising these guys at the combine with a bunch of stuff that they've never seen or heard before.
NFL alum Jordan Back, back with us at Sports Map Radio Network. And you played high school football here in Texas, Dallas Christian in Mesquite, and then went on to Notre Dame and were drafted in 2003 by the Kansas City Chiefs in the fifth round and signed a 3-year contract. Truly a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I just have to wonder, mentally, how did you manage those emotions when you're going into the combine so that you truly could showcase your skill set and what you were able to do?
Well, the hard thing is, you know, anytime you compete in a game, you know exactly when the game is, you know when you're going to play. The combine is a little bit different because everything is done at the convenience of the team that wants to evaluate you. So your days are busy. It's not an environment that's catered to the athlete. It's catered to the people who are going to pay the athlete. So, it can be frustrating at times because it's just nonstop all day. In my case, I know they've changed it up a little bit, but you had essentially two groups of offensive linemen. And on testing day, some would be up at 6 a.m. starting their testing, while others, which would have a slight advantage, in my opinion, that would get to run later in the day.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's not geared to a particular athlete doing something well. It's just, let's get it in, let's get it done, let's get your times down and move on.
So how big of a risk is it to go to a combine? Because what I kind of hear you saying is, I mean, if you get one of those early morning times, I mean, it really could affect your stock.
It absolutely could. And the thing is, like, if you're a really good player, mm-hmm. if you're a high prospect, and you'll see this every year, that there'll
right.
be certain players that opt out of certain events, like some people opt out of the 40, some will opt out of bench press. If you're a player that can afford to do that, if you have something to lose, don't do it. If you have something to prove, go ahead and do it. But people also got to realize that these players are going to have a pro day as well. So the pro day is catered a little bit more to that athlete, and I think it's a much more conducive time for that athlete to be successful because they dictate the terms more so than what happens at the combine.
You know, it's interesting. Kind of what I hear you saying is perhaps there should be some modifications, some changes take place to accommodate the athlete, because when you've got bench press and on-field workouts on the same day, that's really depleting your energy, and you're not, you know, able to show and be at full strength.
It absolutely is, and not only that. I mean, the combine is it's a TV show now, so there's
point.
even more pressure there on the athlete. So I think the NFL comes at it from a lot of different angles. They want to make money with a great TV show, and when you do that, you really do have to de-emphasize the athlete, unfortunately. So a lot of things going on, and yes, there's a lot of ways that the combine can be improved. And just overall, the combine in general, I know people want to get measurables, but if you want to see whether or not a player is going to be good at the next level, all you need is film. So watch what they do in a game. That's all you need to know.
Hey, Jordan Black with us, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Just wondering, though, like, if a player does decline an invitation, how much does that affect their future in the NFL? And how rare is it for a player to decline?
Well, so they don't necessarily decline going to the combine. They'll just sit out of certain drills.
Okay.
So you see a lot of quarterbacks every year, they won't run the 40, or they won't even throw. Now they'll show up and talk to teams and things like that, but that's usually people that they're draft stock is already so high that they don't have to go through all of that. Or, you know, it's not like they're just skipping it all together. They will go through it when they do their pro day later on in the year.
The countdown is on for the NFL Draft 2022. We are going one-on-one with NFL alum, played with the Redskins, the Jaguars, the Texans, and the Chiefs. That is the great Jordan Black. Give him a follow on Twitter, at JordanBlack78. And this year's draft, kind of interesting. So what are your expectations? Is it a quarterback? It's not a quarterback-heavy draft, is it?
No, it's not. No.
Okay.
I mean, who knows how it's all going to work out. I think potentially you're probably going to have a defensive end / edge rusher come off the board, potentially with your top two picks. Quarterback-wise, man, I think the Liberty QB,
Malik Willis.
He has jumped up the board big time. You're going to have some offensive tackles. I think that every team's got to have some offensive tackles. But I think this past year in the NFL, I mean, you look at the defensive end or just a player that has a position that has a ability to pressure the quarterback, that makes such an impact on the game. So I think you're going to see some pass rushers come off the board, but potentially two or three in the top 10 this year.
Okay, you talk about Malik Willis. Well, what quarterback do you think will be off the board first? I mean, we got, what, Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell?
Well, so I'm glad you brought up Pickett. One thing that really, really aggravates me about the NFL draft, you get this hand measurement for quarterbacks, and I guess Pickett had a real small hand. If you remember back to Joe Burrow, it was the same issue
with
him.
Yeah, that's true.
And look at what Joe Burrow has done. Uh-huh. Some of these measurements, some of these teams actually don't even really care what that hand measurement is. But a lot of times, teams will use that to try to purposely lower somebody's draft stock so they can have a chance to pick up that player later on. So if they can generate enough misinformation about a particular player in hopes to drop him down, teams absolutely will. So is that going to hurt him? Probably. Is that going to help Willis out of Liberty? I think it will. And right now, I mean, he'll probably be a top 10 draft pick.
Uh-huh. Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Jordan Black, NFL alum. Also, he is the head football coach at Fort Bend Christian Academy here in Sugarland, Texas. And you are a gentleman that is known for bringing some strong opinions. And speaking about hands, I would love to know your thoughts and give us a reaction from the Oscars on Sunday night. Will Smith's slap on Chris Rock. I mean, what a wonderful way to resolve an offense. I mean, like, how do you address that? I mean, what do you have to say, Jordan? Bring it.
Well, here's what I say. In terms of Hollywood, that's supposed to be like the woke crowd, right?
Yeah.
But Will Smith goes up on stage, slaps somebody, which they're supposed to be, I guess, anti-violence, and then he wins an Academy Award, and everybody's giving him a standing ovation. In the real world, you get arrested for assaulting someone. If you did that in a football game, you don't have a chance to finish the game. I think what he did disqualifies him from winning an Oscar. But in the clown world that we live in, he gets a standing ovation.
Right. And why not just a civil conversation? Good stuff. Jordan Black, always an open invitation when he joins us at Sports Map Radio Network. We look forward to the 2022 NFL Draft. And good luck with spring training and everything with your team. Thanks, Jordan.
Thank you.
You bet. Stick around. Much more coming your way here in Hour 2 at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to engage with our audience. Many different social platforms. You can join us live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports. Email the show, info@eRadioSports.com. PodcastArena.com. My producer does such a great job posting all of our interviews. And you can download our app. Take us anywhere 24-7. That is Sports Map Radio Network. Progressive Insurance. Bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at Progressive.com or call 1-800. 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. As promised, it is time to get you ready for the men's final for The Countdown is On. It's going to be on CBS tonight, and we are so thrilled to have with us for the first time on our show, that is former Duke star shooting guard Daniel Ewing. He is a Houston boy. And Daniel, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I know our listeners are super excited to hear from you.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, I know you're ready for the big game tonight. It is truly considered one of the best rivalries in all of sports, not just basketball. But what are the chances that these two teams, when you talk about UNC and Duke, that they meet in the Final Four and Coach K's final season? I mean, the stars have aligned correctly, right?
Yeah, definitely. The stage is set for something epic to happen. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, given the situation, how everything is set up, Coach K's last season, the previous game, Carolina, you know, being able to celebrate on our home court for Coach K's last home game, last regular season game. So, yeah, the stage is set for something special to take place.
You know, Daniel, when we watch that game, and what are they going to do different tonight? What adjustments will they make?
I mean, I think you've seen this team grow up, you know, in the last couple of weeks from the time they lost the game to Carolina at home to, you know, disappointing loss in the ACC championship tournament to how they played throughout the tournament. They've hit the right stride at the right time. They've come together. Things, you know, the balls are bouncing all the way at the right time, and that's what it takes to make it to the Final Four and also for a chance to play for a national championship and win a national championship. It takes a little bit of favor and luck to fall on your side. And the guys, along with them playing well, they've had some things go their way as well.
You are listening to The Voice, former Duke star shooting guard Daniel Ewing. He is from Houston, Texas. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Mr. Daniel Ewing. Joining us this morning at Sports Map Radio Network. Coach K, we're getting ready. The countdown's on for the men's Final Four tonight. Duke, UNC, that's the game that I've got circled. I can't wait to watch. Coach K's quest for his sixth national championship. Duke is favored over UNC. What do you think are the keys tonight for Duke to come out and prevail?
Well, obviously, I mean, we can't allow Carolina to have four guys score 20 points a piece like they did the last game we played them. But I, like I said, I think if we play our style of play, play solid defense, we eliminate easy baskets, force those guys to play in the half court. And, you know, we can't allow Babcock to have a monster game as well. But like I said, I think the way the team has been playing over the last couple of weeks in the tournament, if we keep that same approach and keep the turnovers down and play together, we have a good shot. I think we're the better team. Like I said, it's just the Final Four, and both teams are playing well coming into it. So, it could go either way, but I definitely have us favored.
Well, and Daniel, you know, momentum, it is very meaningful this time of year, right? So you played 4 years for the Hall of Fame coach in Mike Krzyzewski. What can you share about his game prep? And obviously, I mean, he's led Duke to five national championships in 91, 92, 2001, 2010, and 2015. Talk about his prep.
I tell people this a lot when I talk about Coach K. The one thing that's forever consistent with him is his preparation, both himself as a coach and for his teams each and every year. That's the one thing for me, that sticks out the most. Like, you can never say that you weren't prepared playing for Coach. He was always going to make sure that he crossed his I's and dotted his I's and crossed his T's.
Yeah.
In every aspect of the game that, you know, that he wanted, that he thought was important for us to know, preparing for our opponent. So definitely these guys, they're going to be prepared for tonight's game. But it's going to be a little different because they all are young and never been in this situation before. So they have no teammates to lean on to tell them how, you know, what to expect, or, you know, how to go about it, or how to handle, you know, whatever, you know, the hoopla and all the media attention. Like, this is new for all of these guys. So, like I said, the coaching staff and Coach K have those guys prepared to the utmost.
You know, you talk a lot about the preparation. How about the intensity of Coach K? And you played for him for 4 years, 2001 to 2005. I mean, what, over 20 years ago, or just under 20 years ago? I mean, like, What are these takeaways like? How has that helped you as a professional as far as with, you know, paying attention to detail and actually sweating the small stuff?
A lot, because, I mean, you don't really understand it when you're that young and when you're in the moment playing for a coach like Coach K and his greatness. And but you develop a great appreciation over the years if you're able to continue playing basketball at a professional level like I was able to do. You develop a great appreciation for all the great coaches and all the good coaches that you have, because you're going to have some situations. Well, if you're most likely, you're going to have some situations where you don't have as good of coaches or, you know, great coaches that you're playing for. So you definitely look back on some of those situations where you had good coaching and you had great preparation and teaching. And you like, man, like, I'm, you know, like, okay, I see, you know, I see the difference. I understand it. I understand, you know, I understand a little deep why we had to go over this so much and why the details were so important.
Yeah. Do you remember that first time that you met him and he came to Texas to recruit you?
I do.
Tell me about that.
The first time, it wasn't even that he came to Texas. It was the first time was at an AAU tournament. When I, you know, was kind of making a name for myself, and Duke had always been my dream school, and I think we was in Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. No, matter of fact, the first time I met Coach K was at Duke.
Okay.
But it was at an AAU tournament. The Bob Gibbons back then was held in North Carolina. So you would play at Duke, or you would play at UNC, or you would play at NC State. So it was a big tournament back in my day. And the first time I met Coach K was at that tournament. I was a sophomore.
Coach K, hard to believe, he is 75 years young, and one of his former players is with us right now, and that is Daniel Ewing, former Duke shooting guard, a star. And why don't you take time to just share one of your favorite memories playing for a legendary coach?
Favorite memories, that's tough. Like I said, so many. I was along the years where guys were staying in school 3 or 4 years, so 4 years of memories is, I would say, my junior year, making the Final Four run with my teammates that year, just the team we had, some of the stuff we had to overcome, me personally dealing with, you know, I had a fractured foot to start off that season, and for us to make the push we had, for me to overcome that, be able to help our team get to the Final Four, play it in my home state. That was one of my greatest memories. From an overall team aspect.
He, when we talk about Coach K, the ultimate coach, teacher, leader, mentor, but you mentioned your teammates, and you in high school, what played alongside T.J. Ford in high school, is that correct? And then you had teammates like what, Carlos Boozer and Mike Dunleavy Jr. I mean, those guys can ball.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I've been fortunate to play on some really good teams with a lot of good talent most of my life. For me, it was nothing new. It was what made my decision easy to go to Duke, because I played for a very good high school team where I had to share the spotlight and share the ball. And so it was not that much of a big adjustment for me going to Duke, playing with guys that were older and a little bit better at the time. And you know, like you said, you named a couple, and Carlos Boozer, and Mike Dunleavy Jr., Jay Williams, Chris Duhon, so I had the like to play with some really great players, J.J. Redick, Sheldon Williams, Lou Aldean.
Yeah.
So,
looking forward to the big matchup tonight, Duke, North Carolina, 8:49 Eastern time on CBS. And if you got a big following here in Houston, Daniel, just pull back the curtain. What are you doing now? How can we keep up with you?
You can keep up with me on Instagram, social media, Instagram at Mr. Daniel Ewing. And I'm also on Twitter some, not a lot. Same handle, Mr. Daniel, on Twitter as well. Check me out.
Okay, continued success. And thanks so much for carving out some time and joining us and helping us preview the big game between Duke and UNC. I'm predicting Duke's going to prevail, okay?
Let's hope so.
Okay, fingers crossed. Mate, much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network here in Hour 2. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. And thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Mark it down every Saturday morning, 10 to 12 Eastern time. And did you know Progressive Insurance, bundle and protect today under one roof. Learn more at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. It certainly is. We talked about it in hour one. It's a very big weekend. It's a big day in sports. We've got a lot going on as we continue to get you ready for the men's Final Four and just how these teams stack up against each other. But right now we're going to pivot and we want to continue talking some PGA news and notes. The Valero Texas Open, it is underway in San Antonio. And although Scottie Scheffler, he is the new world number one and fresh off his win in Austin, he is actually not playing. He's preparing for the Masters. And we are thrilled to have back with us former PGA pro, that is Larry Miller, who's going to weigh in on this conversation, provide his expert analysis. After we took off the entire month of March, we had a nice long spring break. So hopefully you are rested and ready, Larry. How you doing, my man?
I am rested and ready. And we have, boy, perfect timing for us to come back because, you know, this is the exciting time when right in front of the Masters and all the majors coming up and the FedEx. And so we're in the heart of the beginning of the heart of the season, and a perfect time for us to come back.
Well, we've got a lot to unpack in this segment. Certainly one of the top headlines from this past week is Tiger Woods. You know, hey, is he going to play in the Masters? Word spread quickly on Tuesday as we all got the big tip that had everybody buzzing. So he did play his practice round. What was your reaction?
Well, initially, when I first heard he was on the grounds and testing it out, you know, it was interesting. I was kind of amazed, to tell you the truth. I was amazed that that he was even, you know, in the condition that he could do that. I saw an interview with Rory McIlroy that that he visited Tiger just a couple of weeks ago at his home in Jupiter, and Rory indicated that, you know, he didn't he came away thinking that Tiger was nowhere near ready, really, for something like that. You know, so all of a sudden now, and this is, you know, this is a guy who's one of his friends and at his house and seeing this. And he was amazed, you know, during the interview, he was amazed when Tiger showed up and you know, testing it out. So, but, you know, Tiger moves the needle. He is the needle, and everybody else tries to move the needle. But, and I'm talking about from the television viewers to the fans. Even the players, Rory said that. Rory said that the players in the locker room love it when Tiger's in an event. It just adds energy and you know, and charisma and excitement to the event. And of course, the fans and the television viewers, you know, will flock to the television set to watch him anytime he plays, any event he plays in. So, you know, it's really miraculous that he's even able to swing the way he is.
Yeah.
If you watched him at the father-son, his swing looked terrific.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thought so. I thought it was just great. It looked like the same old swing. And his caddy, Joe LaCava, said that he may not have the velocity at that time that he would normally have, but it's not that far off. And so I would think that the stronger the ankle gets, then the more the clubhead speed is going to pick up. And if he keeps working like we know he is capable of working, he's a hard worker, that anything's possible with Tiger Woods.
Former PGA Pro author Larry Miller with us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Check out his website. That is LarryMillerGolf.com. You know, talking about Tiger Woods, I think one thing we have certainly learned throughout the years is don't ever bet against Tiger Woods, right? Especially when he's got his back against the wall, because he's going to prove you wrong.
Well, yeah, and I've had two different tour players that I'm personal friends with that have played multiple rounds with Tiger in the past, and they both told me the same thing. They told me that Tiger Woods at 80-85% is better than anybody else on the PGA Tour. And that's a pretty strong statement, but here's two. Now, these are two world-class players playing at the highest level saying that about Tiger Woods. And so that tells you how good he really is. They, you know, they talk about the shots that he hits that nobody else can hit. It's just he's got such a great golf swing and such a great physique for it. You know, his anatomy is just made for the way he swings and hits the ball. And then you combine that with his, you know, with his mental powers, you know, his willpower, and willingness to persevere and grind, and all that combined, and his great short game. He's been a great putter all of his life, and great around the greens. And so that combination, that kind of easy to understand how these players can say that about him.
Larry, what can we learn from Tiger Woods as far as his perseverance, his fortitude? I mean, there's days my arthritis, I'm tired, I don't want to get moving. And I think about Tiger and just all of his surgeries and everything that he's had to overcome. It really is inspiring.
Well, you know, it gets back to your little league coach that tells you how bad do you want it. You know, the team that wants it the most is usually going to come out on top.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you'll see a team or an individual less talented than another, mm-hmm. and they prevail because of the will to win, because of the mental, you know, the grind attitude. You know, Tiger Woods can be, he can be shooting 78, and on the last hole, you'd think it's for the U.S. Open final round. You know, that it meant everything, the way he grinds on every shot. I try to tell the boys, you know, that I coach, I try to tell them that look, every shot is worth one. And what you're doing is you're putting up numbers. It doesn't matter whether that number's a 2, 3, 6, or 7. Every hole you're putting up a number, and you better make each stroke count. I don't care whether it's a shot out of a hazard or you're dropping and hitting 3 from the tee after hitting it out of bounds. But you got to make every swing count, because every shot counts as one. And that's what Tiger Woods is so good at. That's what Jack Nicklaus was so great at.
We are going one-on-one with Larry Miller, former PGA Pro author at Sports Map Radio Network. And since we are on the subject of Tiger, let's reflect back to the month of March and his World Golf Hall of Fame speech. Of course, his daughter, Sam, stole the show, introducing him as the newest member. She was certainly amazing. And just there were so many emotional moments. What were your takeaways?
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was just, a great insight into the man himself, you know, and, you know, it's been written about and said that not once during the acceptance speech did he mention his accomplishments. He didn't talk about it at all, not one word about his accomplishments. And that was really something to see, because he could have talked for hours about his accomplishments, but he doesn't have to. Everybody knows what they are. But instead, he thanked everyone that supported him and told stories about when he was young and how he was encouraged and brought along by his father and the support of his mother, and you know how they mortgaged the house,
yes,
so he could play events. And you know, it was nice to see that side of him, and he was definitely touched emotionally. You could see that. I thought it was a great speech. I thought the whole thing. The whole Hall of Fame event was really nice. I thought all the speeches were really good, and it was really fun to watch.
You know, and we see a different kind of Tiger Woods now. We really see him maturing on the inside.
Yes, we do. And he's mellowed even in interviews with the media. You can see he's a
yes.
lot more cordial and you know, a lot more talkative about details, instead of just giving, you know, one word trite answers, you know, to things like he used to do. I mean, I used to cringe when he did interviews, because I was embarrassed for the interviewer, because you know, they were kind of, you know, they were just, you know, they didn't know what to say, really. It was speechless, because anything they said, he just snapped back with some one word answer. He's totally different now. You know, he's engaging, he's talkative, he acknowledges, you know, the fans a lot more, and the media and his fellow players. So I think it just comes with maturity, for sure, and also probably the fact that he is not in the position he was back then as a dominating world number one. That might have something to do with it, too, that he's now among the mortals.
Former PGA Pro author Larry Miller with us just a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. If you are just joining us, we love to connect on social media at E Radio Sports. You can email the show, or perhaps you have a question for Larry, info@eradiosports.com, or go to his website, LarryMillerGolf.com and PodcastArena.com. Let's move ahead. This weekend already underway, of course, is the Valero Texas Open, TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course. Our boys, they've actually played it several times. What are your takeaways on, and what's the biggest challenge that these professionals are facing?
Well, it's Texas golf, you know, and you better hit the fairways. They were talking about the rocks, you know, all over if you spray the ball around. So I think driving is going to be at a premium. I kind of like Rory McIlroy's chances this week, and
okay.
I'll tell you why. He's playing as this is for him. This is practice for the Masters, and that's why he's doing it. He went to Augusta early a few days ago and played a couple of days to get that in so that he could play Valero without having the pressure of hustling over to Augusta for the practice round. So he's viewing this as practice for the Masters. And, you know, when you're playing something that you perceive as practice, you're a lot freer. You play with more freedom than when you're under the gun with pressure. And so because of that, he's going to be playing with no pressure and very relaxed, and I think he's going to play really well.
What are his chances, you think, at Augusta when we talk about Rory McIlroy?
Well, his game is made for it. Now, the question is the putter. You know, the Masters requires great putting, not good putting, great putting. You have to really know those greens, which by now he does, and you have to really minimize your three putts there. And that goes along with knowing the golf course too, you know, where to place the shots on the greens. And so the only suspect, you know, I have about his chances at Augusta or on the greens, because I think it's tailor-made for his tee to green game. Great driver of the ball. He can hit it high and draw it or cut it. He's one of the best drivers ever. And he's a great iron player, too. And he's good around the greens. But on the greens, now that's going to be the story. If Rory can minimize the three putts or have none at all like Tiger did in 97, then he's going to have a good chance.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Larry Miller after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Let's go back inside the ropes with former PGA Pro and author Larry Miller. Okay, we hit on Rory McIlroy. In Hour 1, we were talking about Scottie Scheffler, the new world-ranked number one player. How has he been able to do this at just 25 years of age?
Well, he's just that good, and he's a big guy. He's good.
He is a big guy.
Great temperament, too, for the game. Uh-huh. Great temperament. You know what? I can see Scottie Scheffler hanging on to that number one for quite a while. I don't see him going away at all.
Did you see this coming?
No, I did not. I was out of town and didn't get to see that. I was actually playing golf. But I think he's going to be up there for a long time. It's going to be hard to supplant him because I don't see him missing cuts, you know, and all that. He's just playing too good, and he's just too good. I think he's a bona fide superstar.
It has just been amazing to watch just his ascension. And he's had, three wins in his last five starts.
Yeah.
One of the players I wanted to have you weigh in on and just kind of give us the pulse of where you see him at here in 2022 is Bryson DeChambeau. Give us an assessment.
Well, you know, like a lot of people, I think that it's difficult to swing the way he swings as hard as he does and not ever have any injuries. That's the big concern with, you know, when he started going on this quest to hit the ball just as far as he could hit it and then go find it and hit it again with a wedge usually. When he went on that quest, you know, part of his training regimen is to swing as hard as he can swing, regardless of where the ball goes. I'm talking about in practice. That's how he practices his speed training, is he hits drivers just as hard as he can swing And if he loses his balance or the ball goes sideways, it doesn't matter. He's trying to create speed as much as he can. But when you're swinging like that, there's got to be stress on your body. I don't care how much you work out, how much training you do. The human body is not meant to torque like that and have that kind of force applied against the joints. So I have a huge concern with Bryson, his injury status going forward, not just right now, but going forward, if he continues to do that. Hopefully, I'd like to see him dial it back just a little and just hit it 320 or 30, which is plenty long enough, and not stress his body so much. I think if he did that, his longevity would definitely improve.
So you think the top priority right now for Bryson DeChambeau is just to get healthy, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's to get healthy by avoiding the stress on his body like that. And like I said, he can hit it plenty far enough to win any golf tournament in the world if he swings at 85% of his strength. But when you start going out like all out like he does, you're going to hurt something sooner or later, and he did.
Former PGA Pro author, he is simply the best. He joins us each and every week. We carve out time for him because we want to hear from Larry Miller, who joins us at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Again, his website is LarryMillerGolf.com. Larry, we look forward to connecting with you next week. Have a great weekend with Connie. We got to get her on and talk about the women's game, right? So we got help me out
she's
here.
Ready. she's ready. The women amateur season is kicking off. She's ready to talk about it.
It is an exciting time for women's golf. We'll have a great weekend. Stick around. Much more coming your way here at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, that was former PGA Pro author Larry Miller, who joins us each and every week. Enjoy all the big games tonight with the men's Final Four, and we'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports, the Big E Sports Show. So long, everybody. Don't drink and drive.